knowledge,
which can lead to revelation, which can lead and should lead to experience. So let's look at Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Isn't that a good scripture? Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that God daily loads us with benefits? Of course, it's not helpful if we don't know what they are, is it? But in Psalm 103, it gives us some insight into what, at least what some of those benefits are. Psalm 103, at least the first five verses. Who'd like to read that? First five verses.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the
eagle. Hallelujah. So, first off, he forgives all of our sins when we confess them, of course. That's a remarkable, remarkable blessing. Imagine appearing before a judge for a very serious murder charge. And you know that you face the possibility of prison in life without parole. And all of a sudden the judge says, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's what the Lord has done for us. He forgives all of our sins.
Yes.
And he's the only one who can do that. All of them. All of them. So that when the devil or the enemy tries to bring condemnation, which of course he's pretty successful at doing, it's important that we understand and know the scripture. And not just the knowledge of it, but the revelation of it. So that we can experience this forgiveness. And you can stand, the Bible says in 1 John that if your heart does not condemn you, if your heart does not condemn you, I did my part now, the rest is yours. If your heart does not condemn you, that's it. Go ahead. We have confidence to receive what we ask of him. If our heart does not condemn us. Second benefit, he heals all of your diseases. He heals all of them. He heals all of them. Imagine that, he heals all of them. All of them. Every single one of them. There isn't a disease on this earth that God will not heal. Not one. Not one. Not one. Not one. Is it automatic? No. No, it's not automatic. What is it then? If it's not automatic, what does it require?
Faith.
Faith. Faith. Requires faith. Hebrews 11:6. What does it say?
Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Must believe that he is
what?
Healer.
Your healer.
And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek.
See, I believe that's why God didn't put something in there where it says he is. It's not a matter, I mean, if you're coming to God, you already believe He's God. So you didn't have to put that in. It's not believing that He's God, but that He is your healer. He's your provider. He's your peace. He's your forgiver. He is your healer. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Not casually, but diligently seek Him. Seek Him in what manner? As their healer. As their healer. God is a miracle worker. God is a miracle worker. And He is the healer of your body, of your soul, of your spirit. He heals body, soul, and spirit. When you are born again, your spirit is born again immediately. But your soul, it needs help. It needs help. That's why in James 1:22 it says, receive with meekness, which is able to sozo your soul. Your soul is
mind,
will, and emotion. So you see that He is providing on every level. Every level. But you have to know it. See, that's why we need the knowledge. We need the knowledge. But the knowledge in and of itself isn't sufficient. That knowledge has to become revelation before it can become experience. Unless the gifts are operating, of course. In which case, what do you have to do when the gifts are operating? What do you have to do? It's a trick question. Nothing. When the gifts are operating, you don't have to do anything. Just receive. It's actually wonderful when the gifts of healing are in operation, or the gift of faith. It's the blessing of God. But those typically are for people who are not part of the body of Christ. We who have been saved and taught the Word, God expects us to exercise our faith. So He forgives all our sins. He heals all of our diseases. He redeems your life, my life, from destruction. What does that mean? He redeems your life from destruction. Well, it means when we make a mess of things, God can step in and help us. Has anyone ever made a mess of things? Of course we have. And you know what? We will again. It's the nature of the beast. We make a mess of things when we don't listen to the Spirit of God. But fortunately, it says here that He will redeem your life from destruction. He'll redeem. I remember hearing a story. Now, this was about a gentleman who I don't think he was saved at the time. But this happened many 80 years ago or more. He was a businessman, and he worked for a bank somewhere, and he had embezzled money, borrowed it, as he put it, with the intention of replacing it someday. And the bank examiners came in, and he knew he was done for. So he ran over to, I believe it was Kenneth Hagin he went to, and said to him, I'm in so much trouble. Can God help me? Can God help me? And he said to him, of course God can help you. He redeems your life from destruction. Get on your knees, confess your sin, ask Jesus to become your Lord and Savior, and pray and ask Him to intervene. And the long and short of this, and I don't know all the details, or I don't remember them all, but God did intervene. And, of course, He had to replace the money, but He didn't go to jail. So they had mercy on Him. So God redeems our lives from destruction. Next one is He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Why is it important to read these and think about them? Why is it important? Is it important? Why is it important?
You will never become a truth in our spirit.
You got to speak louder.
We won't experience it. We won't. have the revelation in our heart that He is all of those things so that we can believe Him for those things.
These are God's assurances to us.
Yes, they are.
Confirmation that His word does not change. The more you recite and meditate on it, the more it becomes part of your bloodstream.
You have to soak in them. You soak in them because in order to take advantage of these blessings, benefits, when you go to work for a company, do you care what the benefits are? Is that important?
Yes.
Why is it important?
You're giving up your time.
Well, you want to know what you're going to get. Let's face it. Don't we? Don't you care what you're going to get, what the benefits are?
Yes.
Or are we too spiritual for that? We're not too spiritual for that. We want to know what the benefits are. What are the benefits of working for this company as opposed to somewhere else? Well, these are the benefits of belonging to Jesus. He crowns you with loving kindness. That's like the one, what's that psalm that we have been saying for years now? Years.
145.
What does it say?
God is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and sending mercy are all over our lives.
Now, has that had developed any kind of meaningfulness to you over the years?
Yes.
How so? How has it become meaningful? Don't be shy now. Come on. How has it become meaningful?
Knowing
the heart of God. Yeah. That we gain a greater understanding of God's graciousness to us. So that we're not as afraid when we screw up to go to God and say, I made a mess of things. Because I know He's gracious. Full of compassion. Slow to anger. Thank God He's slow to anger. If He was quick-tempered, would you be running to Him? No. No. And what are His tender mercies that are all over us? I mean, if something's all over it, do you want to know what it is? Don't you? So I said, I'm going to pour this all over you. Wouldn't you want to know what it is? Sure you would. So what are His tender mercies? Come on, the Bible gives us insight. His tender mercies include healing. Have mercy on me, O God. I'm blind or whatever I am. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God. His tender mercies are forgiveness. His tender mercies give us grace when we need it. Come to the throne of grace in the time of need and receive mercy. Those are the things. It's important to know those things. It's important that we know them so that we can understand who God is, how He operates. Number five, He satisfies your mouth with good things. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Well, does that mean He gives us donuts and ice cream?
No, we give ourselves.
Amen. Yes, you do. You're right. Yes. I've done my best with her. It means filling. Now, here's the literal translation of this is filling with good your soul.
Oh,
filling with good your soul. When the mouth is filled with good, it is bound to speak good of Him who filled it. Do you follow me on that? So if we never cease to bless Him, till He ceases to bless us, our blessing will never cease. In other words, as we continue to bless the Lord, He is blessing us. And if we keep blessing the Lord, the blessings just keep flowing. They keep flowing. That's a benefit of God. Now the next one He renews your youth like the eagle. He renews your youth like the eagle, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. And here's the definition of that. It's a renewal of strength, amounting to a grant of a new lease of life, was granted to the psalmist. He was so restored to his former self that he grew young again and looked as vigorous as an eagle, whose eye can gaze upon the sun and whose wing can mount above the storm. Now, how many remember what happens with an eagle? The process they go through. It's quite an extensive, at times painful process. But in the end, they're twice as strong. They have twice the vision and so on and so forth. There's a monumental change that happens in them. And that's what he's saying here. That God will renew your youth like the eagle. A promise from God. Promise from God, a benefit of God. Talks about him being merciful and gracious. That's kind of self-explanatory. But there is a promise in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 that is so overwhelming it's hard to even begin to comprehend it. Without the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I doubt that we would ever come to the place of understanding it. Does anyone know what it is? Ephesians, I'll give you a hint, it's chapter 1, verse 3. What does it say? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, some folks interpret that to mean only spiritual things. However, everything that is here originated in the Spirit. God said, let there be. Let there be. God created. So that every blessing that God has made available to us has originated from where He is. That's in the Spirit. For example, He chose you before the foundation. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. He chose you before the foundation of the world. Pretty amazing. He predestined us to be adopted as children, His children. He made us accepted in the Beloved. God did. He made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now, what does that mean? He made known unto us the mystery of His will. He made known unto us the mystery of His will. See, that's one of the big ones. Remember the word mystery, hidden truths? In other words, God will unfold His word to us. He will reveal what the word is speaking to us. For example, when we are looking for healing, and we are meditating and soaking in healing scriptures, the Holy Spirit reveals them. He makes them known to us. He opens the eyes of our understanding. He opens them. He gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. In the knowledge. That's what it's talking about here. He gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. Now, why would you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge? That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I believe. Yes. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, why do you need the spirit of wisdom and revelation if you've got the knowledge? Why do we need it?
So you can apply the knowledge.
Yeah. So that you can understand the knowledge and then apply it. So that we can begin to say, okay, what does He mean by this? What does it mean? I am the Lord that healeth thee. What does that mean? How does it work? What does it mean to me? My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? How does that apply to me personally? That's the role of the Holy Spirit. You see, he unfolds that. He helps us, very simply put, he helps us to understand what the Bible's saying. He makes it understandable for us. Because there are things that we read that are not immediately clear. Or am I the only one that has that experience? There are things that we read and we thought, what does that mean? But the job of the Holy Spirit, and you know, if you want to know about that, it's John chapter 16. Jesus talks about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and there are other places. But that's one of his roles. So, he made known the mystery of his will. We have obtained, it talks about here, an inheritance. Well, what's the inheritance? The things of God. All of his stuff. Say what?
Kingdom of God.
Yeah. All of his stuff becomes my stuff.
Hallelujah.
You know? To put it bluntly. His stuff becomes your stuff. Or can become. Okay? We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is all in Ephesians 1 here. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him, riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power to them that believe. See, these blessings are really quite overwhelming. So how do they come about? Are they just simply automatically released into our lives? Do they just fall on you regardless? See, God speaks about this as if it's already happened. Has done. He has done these things. He has revealed them. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, he talks about it in the past tense. And let me just read to you what I'm talking about. All right, verse 7, he calls it the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Okay. Then verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, heart being mind, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now if we stop there, we go, well, okay, I guess he'll tell me in heaven. But he doesn't. So then verse 10 says, but God has revealed them, has, to us through his Spirit. Through his Spirit. His Spirit speaking to your spirit, to my spirit.
John,
yep.
That's one of the reasons we need the Colossian prayer, to pray for the Spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and you were just talking about. Because sometimes...
That's Ephesians, too.
Apply the knowledge to the flesh.
Yes.
Instead of the wisdom of the Spirit, correct?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now in Mark chapter 4, Mark 4, let's go here, verse 11. It says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, to you, it has been given to know the mystery. Now the word mystery is also translated hidden truths of the kingdom of God. What he's saying is that on a surface reading, you're not going to get it. You need help. You need help. That's what he's talking about. We need help. We need help. And then in verse 22, he's declaring and saying, there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. So how will it be revealed? See, that's the important. How will it be revealed, and will it be revealed to everyone? Because that's critically important. In order for the knowledge to become revelation and move into experience, we need to know how it works. How will it work? Well, we know in John chapter, and I know there's a lot of scripture, but I want you to see, I'm not just pulling this out of my hat here. In John chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 12 to 15. And that's basically just going to say what the role of the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is saying, John 16, Oh, that's Luke. No wonder it doesn't make any sense. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. So he's saying, you're not going to understand them now. I got a lot of things you don't know that I know, Jesus is saying, but you're not going to get it right now. So, however, when I'm gone and the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So what's he going to do? The Holy Spirit is going to reveal these hidden truths. That's part of his job. That's what he's going to do. Well, thank God he's going to. Thank God it is. And then in Mark again, chapter 4, verses 23, 24, in the Amplified, it talks about... Well, who's got the Amplified? Anybody have the Amplified here? Mark chapter 4, verses 23, 24. I wrote down Amplified and forgot to bring one. Yeah, Mark chapter 4, verses 23 and 24.
If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. He said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you back. Give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear.
Amen. So what he's telling us there is that if you will read the Word of God with careful attention, paying attention, praying over it, revelation will come to you. It will come to you. The effort that you put in to understanding it will be the measure that you receive of revelation from God. That's pretty much what he's telling us there. Of course, we know in Jeremiah 29, it talks about how you know, God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. All your heart. God wants everything. Everything. In Mark, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But see, revelation comes by layer. What do I mean by that? Well, in Mark 4, it talks about first the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head, and then the harvest. So there is a process that we move through of revelation. It doesn't, we don't suddenly get everything all at once. Does that make sense? For example, in Matthew 16, Peter says to Jesus, you are the Christ. And he gets all excited, and Jesus said to him, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And Peter starts to feel his oats. And four lines later, Jesus is saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Because we get overconfident. And he's now directing Jesus what he should and shouldn't be doing. And therein lies the problem for many Christians. They want to be God's advisor. And he doesn't need us to be his advisor. And then again on, where is it? In Matthew 17. When Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah showed up, Peter's out there again saying, let's build three tabernacles. You got to give them effort, you know, A for effort. The boy's in there swinging. But our goal is to get to the place that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 5, verse 19, where he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do that. Now, how do I get to that place where I can see clearly what the Father wants done? Well, Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing your mind. Mind has to come in. We connect with the Spirit, but your mind has got to cooperate. Your mind's got to line up as well, soaking your thoughts, soaking them with the Word of God until they become my thoughts. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, that takes hours. It's not a 15-minute devotional. It's not. When I first started for healing many, many years ago, it took 18 months. 18 months, 4 to 6 hours a day, studying the Word, soaking in the Word. And I lost it twice, as you all know, or most of you know. I lost it twice. But it took 18 months. 18 months soaking, till my mind started to line up with the Word of God. Now, the next time I needed a miracle took 5 months. And the time after took less and less and less. So you're not going to have to invest the same thing every time. But we need to have our thoughts lining up with the Word of God. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. The reason most of the body of Christ doesn't have any faith is we don't have very much Word in us. We don't. Faith comes by
hearing.
Hearing what? The Word of God. We have to hear something over and over and over and over and over and over and over until it penetrates. Till it becomes more real to us than the circumstances. And sometimes we get an intellectual faith that thinks that we can just say something and it's going to happen. Well, what was their name? Seven sons of Sceva? Anybody know that story? That's what they thought. I adjure you, they say. I adjure you?
Jesus, who called
me. That's right. Now, you know what the word adjure there means? I recommend that you depart, demon. Guess what they did? They beat the snot out of them. All of them. All seven of them. They said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Well, that's good. You know that? That was good teaching. I needed that. I don't know if you needed it, but I needed it. We need the Word to be living inside of us. Living. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. Hebrews tells us that the Word is a living Word. It's alive. It's living. Well, if it's living, it can grow. All living things grow. So, Lord, help us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to become a people of the Word. That Word of God would live in us richly, O God. I pray for us that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, Jesus. Help us, O God. Help us to understand the things that you have said. Help us, O Lord, to love you with all of our hearts. Our desire, of course, is to go to heaven. And so, Lord, help us to be prepared to go there. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Any questions?